The following Compassion Radio broadcast is certainly a classic, one of the most popular programs we've ever presented. Here now to get us started is our longtime president and speaker, the late Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson.
In the New Testament letter of 1 Peter, we read these words, "Rejoice to the extent that you share Christ's sufferings. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you." Well, those are remarkable words, and of course it's also remarkable when we discover real-life examples of the truth that those who are persecuted for the sake of Christ are actually blessed. My friend, get set for a remarkable true story.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the back streets of Beijing to your own backyard, God is doing some amazing things around the world, and we bring you stories from the front lines. Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio. Today we continue the story about the wave of missionary zeal that continues to flow out of China, a country where those coming to faith in Christ is growing by as many as 20 to 30,000 each day. These precious people take their faith seriously, and they're living it out. But how did all those Bibles make it into a closed China? Well, people like you sent it to them, and we're doing it again this year through our Operation God's Word for China campaign. More on that later. Right now, here's Norm to introduce a real hero of the faith.
One of the reasons we're so high on this project is that one of the men inside of China that gets the Bibles we provide to the Christians in the country is the man that you're going to hear from today. By the way, our China adventurers met this man in Hong Kong and heard him tell his story in person. Get ready for a blessing after music from Morning Song.
Who being in very nature God, would not grant equality with him. God made himself nothing and took on a servant's nature.
Found in appearance as man, he humbled himself, was obedient, even to death on the cross.
At Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and in all the earth. To the Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord. At Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Christ has been exalted by God to the highest place, and given a name as exalted above every other name. Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and in all the earth.
To the Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord.
At Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and in all the earth. To the Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Lord, how lovely is your name.
Well, this week we are concentrating on the remarkable and unprecedented work of the Holy Spirit in bringing tens of millions of people in China to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when my wife Cher and I first went to China in the fall of 1995, we met an amazing Christian leader there by the name of George Chen. Brother Chen was a pastor and church leader in China before the communist takeover of the country in 1949. And as was true for so many church leaders at that time in China, Pastor Chen was thrown into prison and incarcerated for many years because of his unswerving loyalty to Jesus Christ and because of his boldness in continuing to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we were very touched by Pastor Chen's story and also by his continuing activity in bringing the Word of God to his people today. And so, this past October, we asked George if he would tell his story again, so that you could hear it from his own lips. We're going to play for you a recorded recounting of Pastor George Chen telling his own story in his own words. And by the way, George's English is quite good, but you will want to listen carefully and concentrate on what he says, because every word of his story is worth hearing. Pastor Chen, tell us briefly your story.
It was 1952 when I started to be an evangelist in communist China. The revolution was occurring in 1949. The first few years, the church was not radically be persecuted by the authority. But gradually, they did not like the church. The authority did not like the church grew too fast, and they tried their best to reform the church, so-called the Reformation. Their intention was to eliminate the Christian faith from the nation. So I give you some instance. In 1949, when the communists came to take power in China, I was living in Shanghai, the biggest city of China. At that time, there were over 200 big churches in China with big buildings, not including those house churches. The big churches, almost 250. But in 1958, only 8 remained, and the rest all closed by the authority. In 1966, when the Cultural Revolution occurred, all the church closed. No more church, no more religion inside China. So that's gradually they launched out the Reformation that exactly is a persecution to the church, to the Christians. I became an evangelist in 1952, and I went to the village to preach the gospel, to meet the people, and then people came to Jesus Christ, and I started to plant the church. When the first church founded in 1953, 1954, and the first time I was arrested by the authority. The reason, because I built the church with the Christians, but only 1 month. And then I was released. As a warning, they threatened me no more to be involved in the church ministry. But I continued to evangelize, to preach the gospel. The second time, 1954, once again, I was arrested. And then the third time, I was arrested in 1960. And then they did not release me. They put me in prison altogether 18 years from 1960 to 1978. All the reason because I was a church leader in China. And you know, the situation in China was quite desperate at that time. And the people wondered, how could I survive after 18 years in a communist labor camp? The first few years I was detained in the prison in Shanghai. Because no sufficient food, I suffered hunger. Every night I couldn't stand up because no any strength to stand up. When I moved in the prison ward, I had to kneel down on the floor and slowly to crawl. But I did not die. So in 1964, after 3.5 years, they transferred me from the prison ward in Shanghai to the central part of China, to a labor camp. And in the labor camp, I had to work in the fields. And also because they knew my background, in the labor camp, most of the prisoners, they were afraid to do a job. It was to empty, to dig out the human waste cesspool. And because my background, the authorities, they knew my background. I was born in a relatively well-to-do family. My father owned the factories at that time. And also they knew I was well-educated. And you know, at that time, the communists, they hated all those intellectuals, especially the son born in the well-to-do family. And also they knew I was a pastor. According to their saying, I was a religious leader. And they were atheists. So they hated all those religious leaders. So knowing I was a cultured son from the well-to-do family, I was a Christian leader. So they enjoyed to put me to work in the cesspool. They thought it was the best place to torture me, to punish me. According to their saying, to re-educate me. And you know, in the labor camp, there were many cesspools. All the human waste collected from the entire camp. And every pool was quite big. Everyone at least 2 meters in width, 2 meters in length. The depth is over 2 meters. And when you worked in the cesspool to empty it, because it was so deep, you could not reach to the bottom of the pit. So first of all, you had to walk into the disease-ridden mass. And all the prisoners in the labor camp, they were afraid to do that job because the poisonous virus, once infected in China at the time, no one could be healed. But they were afraid, but the authority enjoyed to put me to work there. But they didn't know in those years I enjoyed to work in the cesspool. So the cesspool was very deep. I had to walk into the pool to dig it out. When I scoop off every successive layer of the human waste, I had to smell the most maddening stench permeated all over the air. Surrounded only by stench, by foul air, those human waste. But I enjoyed to work in the cesspool. The reason was I enjoyed the solitude. In the labor camp, all the prisoners under severe surveillance. No one could be alone. 24 hours each day by shift, the policemen, the soldiers, they watched us. And no one prisoner could be alone. We worked together, we slept together, we ate together. All the time we had to stick together. But when I worked in the cesspool, the prisoners tried to avoid me as far as they could, to work another place. So I was alone in the cesspool at that day, at that time, so I could pray to our Lord as loud as I need. And also at the same time, the same day in the cesspool, I could loudly recite all those scriptures I still remembered. And it encouraged me, it supported me. So that's the reason why I enjoyed to work in the cesspool, because I enjoyed the solitude. The only place in the labor camp I could praise Lord loudly, I could pray to the Lord loudly, I could recite all the scriptures loudly, and no one will come close enough to protest me. Mm-hmm. And at the same day, the same time, I also could sing all the hymns I still remembered. In those years, I worked in the cesspool. One of my favorite hymns, it was In the Garden. I do not know, do you still remember this very old hymn? I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and a voice I hear falling on my ears. The Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we hear as we tarry there, none other has ever known. None other has ever known such joy, such sweetness, while I worked in the cesspool. Again and again I sang this hymn. I met our Lord's presence be with me. I heard our Lord told me I am his own. Yes, I was in the labor camp. I was in the human waste cesspool. But at that very moment, the cesspool became my private garden.
From the cesspool of inhumanity to the glorious presence of God himself. What a remarkable story from Pastor George Chen. Here's Norm with a reflection about our Operation God's Word project as we get ready to close out the year.
My friend, here in the United States, the pastors of so-called mega churches, that is churches with memberships numbering between 2,000 and 25,000 people, are well known, and they're even celebrities for their church growth achievements. Well, in the nation of China, we have a pastor friend, now get this, his name is Peter Xu, who pastors a church that consists of 20 million members. That's right. The members meet in small groups in homes all over China. He's also spearheading a movement which has begun to send out 100,000 Chinese Christian missionaries to evangelize the countries of Central Asia that stretch across the ancient Silk Road trading route between China and Jerusalem. This movement, by the way, is called the Back to Jerusalem Movement. It's amazing. Now, Peter Xu's goal is to win all of the currently Muslim nations of that region, including Afghanistan and Iran, Iraq, and Pakistan, to Jesus Christ. These Chinese missionaries are preparing to suffer and to die if need be to accomplish this great task. And my friend, I believe that they will succeed. Now just think about it for a minute. These Chinese believers who, in communist China, have already spurred the greatest church growth movement in the 2,000-year history of Christianity are now going on the road to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit in the Muslim world. This movement, growing out of the persecuted but powerful church in China, will employ no violence, but it will turn loose the power of God's Word, of Christ's love, and Spirit-inspired discipleship to fulfill the Great Commission in the Muslim world. You know, Al-Qaeda and the terrorists don't stand a chance against this outpouring of God's power. But now I want you to know how you can be a part of this world-changing outreach. Here's how. Peter Hsu has told me that this missionary movement needs two things from American Christians. First of all, it needs fervent and continual prayer support. And second, it needs gifts of Bibles so that every Chinese missionary can be trained in God's Word. My friend, I am pleading with you today to, one, pray daily for the missionary outreach of the Chinese missionaries across Central Asia. And secondly, I'm praying that you will give generously to our Operation God's Word for these courageous church missionaries. Yes, indeed, our Operation God's Word campaign is continuing through this month of December. I need you and every Christian who is listening to me right now to send a contribution to this consummate cause. Remember, only one out of every 2,000 Christians in the rural areas of that country has access to a Bible.
Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 apiece. How many Bibles would you like to send to the fastest growing church in the world in China? We've told you about the need. Let us hear from you. And let us know that you want us to continue doing this work now and for the years to come, and that you want us to start off 2018 on solid footing. For your support of Compassion Radio and our God's Word for China project this month of $25 or more, we'd love to send you a handcrafted olive wood ornament made by believers in Bethlehem. Ask for it when you call, write, or give online today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. We'll repeat this information again at the end of the broadcast.
That story really moves me. It touches me deeply. And by the way, Pastor Chen didn't really talk about the beatings and the other physical abuse that he suffered when he was first locked up. In fact, the Chinese Christians are rather reticent to talk about their persecution. But you should know that his cell was a concrete 6-foot by 6-foot cubicle of filth that he shared with insects. And in that terrible discomfort and in the ongoing sleeplessness that he endured in that cubicle, his recall of all of the scripture that he had memorized began to slip away from his memory. It's understandable, isn't it? So you see, working in the cesspool of that prison labor camp was for him a great blessing, because it enabled him to recite passages of Scripture out loud and thus reinforce his familiarity with the precious Word of God that he loved so much. Now, please keep this in mind. This great man of courage and Christian character is one of our partners in getting Bibles to the believers in China. This is the caliber of men and women who are carrying out the dangerous task of distributing the Bibles that we, you, are providing. No wonder the work of God and His Word is thriving in China. Now let's take just a moment and pray together. Oh God, Your Word is powerful and it is effective. And as the Bible itself says, Your Word will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Lord God, the challenge for us today is to send that Word to Chinese men and women who are hungry for the Word of God, but who do not have it. We pray now that we may be faithful in sending Bibles to China right now, while the responsiveness is so incredibly great. And may we be Your instruments in helping Your Word to accomplish its purpose in that great nation. And may we also know the blessing that comes from sharing Your good news. Lord, we thank You now for this opportunity and also for the Word of God that we send. And we thank You most of all for loving us. We pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. You know, there are all sorts of Christian ministries and, of course, all sorts of radio ministries. But I truly believe that when we get down to the core of what we're all about, our chief objective is to glorify God by bringing lost men and women, boys and girls, into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, just as Jesus came to earth to win our salvation, so now the great commission that he gave to us is to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations. And in this case, we're laboring together with Christ to change the world's most populous nation.
We're reminded at this time of year that the history of Christianity since that first advent 2,000 years ago has at times been the history of missed opportunities. Here's a tragic example of that. Are you ready for a quick history lesson? Well, between the years 1271 and 1275, the famed Italian Marco Polo traveled with his father and his uncle from the city of Acre in what is now Israel, across the Middle East and Central Asia, all the way to China. In China, they were privileged to meet with the great Mongol leader and warrior, Kublai Khan. In the course of the Polo's conversations with Kublai Khan, the emperor expressed his interest in learning more about the Christian religion, thinking that perhaps it would be beneficial to promote acceptance of Christianity throughout his empire. Kublai Khan's request was quite simple. He asked the Polos to go back to Pope Gregory X on their return to Rome and to ask the pontiff to send a team of Christian scholars from Rome to China to instruct him and other leaders of China in the principles of the Christian faith. The emperor's desire was clear. With his newly acquired understanding of Jesus Christ, he would proclaim the Christian gospel as the official religion of his empire. All he needed was to be persuaded that Christianity was true. His mind and his heart were open and receptive to accept the arguments of the papal scholars from Rome. Well, the Polos did return to Rome, and they did meet with Pope Gregory, and they conveyed the request of Kublai Khan to the Roman pontiff. But guess what happened? Nothing. Pope Gregory's mind was consumed with local issues of church administration, and he set the emperor's request aside. No Christian scholars or missionaries were sent to China, and one of the greatest Christian outreach opportunities in history was missed as a result. How tragic. My friend, there exists today in China perhaps the greatest evangelistic opportunity in all of world history. The Chinese church, which was relatively dormant for centuries and targeted for total eradication by communist despot Mao Zedong, was stuck at a minuscule membership of 900,000 in 1949. But today, the Christian movement in China consists of more than 100 million believers. Join with me and with thousands of others in prayerfully giving to Compassion Radio's annual Operation God's Word campaign of providing Bibles to the House Church Christians of China.
You know, this broadcast stirs wonderful memories. I actually had the chance to travel with Norman Cher on some of those very fact-finding missions to China right about 20 years ago. And I had the opportunity to meet Pastor Chen and have a picture taken with him, an experience I'll never forget. You know, based on what we've heard today, how can we deny these Chinese believers the precious gift of God's Word, their very own Bible?
Just $6 can provide a copy to a Chinese believer who longs for one. And of course, it's in their own language. A $60 gift provides 10 Bibles. $150, 25 Bibles. A $600 gift, 100 Bibles. And on it goes. Be a part of our 2017 Operation God's Word campaign.
Just give us a call. 1-800-868-2478. That's 800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, our interactive website, CompassionRadio.com. That number again, 800-868-2478.
On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. We wish you the very best this Christmas season, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.